In case you missed it, I am back after that two-week bender in Wisconsin, of all places, northern Wisconsin. This program is brought to you by Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rockin' Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. If maybe you've heard me talk about the Wisconsin run, or if you're curious about the Wisconsin run, go to my Instagram feed. I was posting pics. They're still up there. You can get a sense of what I did over the past 2 weeks, what lake life was like. I didn't know very much about that until I got there. Go to my Instagram feed, at Jim Rome. Check out the pics. I'll let you inside. You can see what it looks like in Eagle River, Wisconsin. Now I get it. Now I understand why Tom Brady was so fired up about going to the lake. That was me. When I got off that plane and I drove into Eagle River, population 1498, immediately my window was down and I was saying, let's go! Let's go, lake! That was the first time I could really identify with that guy on some level. People are looking at me like, what the hell is he saying? What are you doing? And I'm just bumping around, windows down, screaming, let's go! Let's go, lake! Lake life. At Mr. Wait 85 tweets, I've been off the tracks since 2016. Can't blame closed gyms or COVID. Great point. So, like, are you COVID-19? Are you COVID-15? Are you COVID-25? Are you COVID-30? Or are you COVID-40? Like Monty. This guy looks amazing. You know, again, sometimes, and I always want to tip my hat to those who do the work, because it's hard to do the work, and you're healthier, and you're making better choices. It just sometimes doesn't look right. Man, this guy looks so much younger and better. Dear Jim, look at the blanket, bro. Signed, Mike Jacko, holding his kid out a window.
Look at the blanket, bro.
Brett, back in Bugaha, wore the adult alarm. So I'll tell you what I'll do. I will play the fat alarm. I will play the fit alarm. I will play a fantasy alert. The one thing I will never, ever do. You know, there's certain things about this show that may have been feasible or even appropriate back in the day. And there's certain things I look back at and I ask myself, the hell was I thinking? How did we ever do that? How was that all right? One of those things probably was the adult alarm. And I've always said I'll never play that ever again. Of course, I did say that I would never play the Toby in Houston call again. And I did play that as part of Romageddon. You know what? Desperate times call for desperate measures. And we are in the middle of a quarantine. And y'all need a little pick-me-up, right? What the hell? What are they going to do, fire me? I'm in the Hall of Fame. You know what, Alvin? Go ahead. Why don't you bring back the adult alarm? Because most of all, Brett and Bugaha asked for it. Yeah, right. Because I'm going to do that. Okay, that's enough. Thank you. No. Never bringing it back.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
I'll never forget the first time my two kids stumbled upon the adult alarm. Like, hey, Dad, what's this all about? Hey, Junior, I thought that I told you not to be on the internet. Casey in New Hampshire. No more internet for you, son. Imagine, it's one thing to try and take away their console, their PS4. Try and take away the internet from somebody. No public Wi-Fi for you. No nothing. No phone, no lapper, no desktop, no free Wi-Fi. No oxygen, no sunlight. Casey, New Hampshire tweets, I dropped 42. Signed, Jason Pierre Paul eating popcorn. I don't even get that, bro.
40.
Rome Slice, if J.R. Swish has a problem with the hotel blankets, wait until he sees me. Regards, the hotel air conditioner with two settings, off and minus 15 degrees.
Bruh.
Geoff and Lincoln. One wore those hangers that are locked to the closet bar.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I know people rip things off from a hotel and then get charged and they don't know they're not getting over. But who's going to jam those hangers into their briefcase? Matt in Vancouver tweets, the only reason Monty trimmed up is because Loaf, the Laguna Beach bully, bought all available custard in the United States with his smack-off winning call, wore the fit alarm every time I tweet. The thing about that is, though, Matt, only if you're a fat guy. And from the way you tell the story, you just entered the world like Jack LaLanne or something. No, bro, the fit alarm is for people who were not fit, who got fit. Casey in New Hampshire. I dropped 40 pounds, signed James Kelly, trying to do bicep curls.
40!
His skinny arms take a lot of crap on this show.
Omaha!
And his wrinkled shirts, and his gigantic forehead. All right, then. Now I'm back. It's like I never even left. No. You know, when you get far enough away from all of that for like 2 weeks' time, you forget that it even happened. But all it takes is like one show, not even one show, one show in 1 hour, and it all comes flooding back. Meantime, help me out here. Like, I don't need it, but what's fair is fair. If I'm doing my work, you should be doing your work. Make the show better. All right, next topic. A topic that, if you listen to the show with any kind of regularity, you know, has become a non-topic. I've gone out of my way. I've swerved way out of my lane not to talk about Antonio Brown. Except Antonio Brown announced his retirement yesterday, I guess. I think. I mean, great. Fine. Whatever. Normally, that would be enough to say about Antonio Brown. In fact, that would be too much to say about Antonio Brown. Because the NFL has been a much better place without weekly, daily, and hourly updates on Antonio Brown and whatever he's up to. It's been a long time since he has been a topic on this show. And a really long time since he should be a topic anywhere at all. We're talking about a guy who was an electrifying receiver, but that guy left the building a long time ago and was then replaced by somebody who threatened a team official in Oakland, was signed by the Patriots, sued for sexual assault, played one game for the Patriots, was featured in their offense in a game against Miami that they would have won without him, somehow was awarded a game ball, and then cut just before 5 p.m. on a Friday when the heat got even hotter. So I would say the fact that he's retiring is good news because it means that we don't have to hear all these constant updates from TMZ and from Brown himself about the work that he's putting in on the practice field. And then we don't have to hear any speculation about Tom Brady bringing him to Tampa Bay or, incredibly, Russell Wilson trying to get him to Seattle. And we don't have to hear about a guy who has been accused time and time again of horrible behavior. I mean, when you look at the world right now, think about this. When you look at the world right now, is there anything that feels dumber and less important than what Antonio Brown is doing right this second? Like, there was a time when what Antonio Brown was doing was really interesting. A time when I thought he was interesting. A time when I'd put him on the show and we would talk about the things that he was doing. A time when he was an interesting interview and when you could just give this guy a camera and have him interview teammates in his locker room, and even that was must-see TV. There was a time when even his arrival at training camp was an event. And that's before we get into what this guy could actually do on the football field. Man, but that was so long ago. You know what else seems like a long time ago? 2019. Last year was the year of Antonio Brown, and it was like the most tedious thing ever. There was him forcing his way out of Pittsburgh. There was him live streaming his cardio sessions, giving himself moronic nicknames, getting into Twitter beefs with former teammates. Yeah, how about that drama about his helmet? Remember all that? Fighting the NFL about what helmet he'd be allowed to wear, and that he allegedly, it included him trying to sneak onto the field with that old helmet that he just painted up into Raider colors. Remember that? And then there was that drama. this real thing that happened also. That drama about how he destroyed his feet because he somehow got frostbite in July because he somehow went into a cryo chamber and did not have his sandals. I mean, that should be the one thing you think about, right, when you think about Antonio Brown. But he's gotten into so many other horrific and wacky things, you forget that he gave himself frostbite in the middle of summer. How about that time he made John Gruden look like a total dope? How about that time that he allegedly threatened to punch Mike Mayock? How about that time that he went to New England and Tom Brady fell hard for him? Tom Brady was in love with him and then appeared to not know him at all and appeared to not have ever met him before when asked about him after Brown got into trouble again. You know, like, weird is good normally, but that wasn't. Because that wasn't weird. That was just bad. In fact, that wasn't bad. That was terrible. Because everybody focused on the allegedly wacky stuff that he was doing, didn't pay nearly enough attention to all the horrible stuff that he was alleged to have done. That was last year. Some of that was less than 12 months ago, but it feels like it was 12 years ago. Because the world has moved on from Antonio Brown, and that's a good thing. But you know what else was last year? Antonio Brown's retirement. That's right. He already did retire. He already announced his retirement on September 22nd, 2019. And then he threatened to retire in August of last year when he couldn't wear the helmet that he wanted. So forgive me if I don't buy this retirement. Better yet, no. Forgive me if I don't care. He's not the guy we thought he was. You know, what's one of my famous lines from this show? We don't know any of these guys. Yeah, well, this guy's not the guy we thought he was. He's not a funny, phrase-dropping receiver who shows up like $1 million on Radio Row. He's under investigation from the NFL for separate allegations of sexual assault, as well as sending an accuser threatening text messages. Last month, he was sentenced in an assault case that's separate from these separate allegations of sexual assault. I mean, damn, like, I'm exhausted even talking about this. An assault case where he assaulted the driver of a moving truck. So, he's a moving truck driver assaulter, an alleged sexual assaulter, and allegedly threatened somebody who alleged he sexually assaulted her. Like, I don't want to indict anybody only on allegations, but I'll say this show has been a hell of a lot better without him. So, I don't know if yesterday's announcement really counts or really means anything at all, but it does to me. I'm going to take him at his word and retire him. Antonio Brown is officially retired from this program. And now I am done. My man, I hope you right the wrongs. I hope you get the help you need. In the meantime, happy retirement. You are happily retired from this show. I feel so much better now. Nuggets president of basketball ops, Tim Connolly, will join us next. We'll talk about return of the NBA, how these seeding games look, and what it means to his franchise and the rest of the league. That is next segment. Tomorrow I've got a podcast with Damon West. You might not know that name, but you want to know this guy. He's got an amazing story. Our Jim Rohn podcast, original content, long-form content, pushes out every Wednesday. It is premium, it is long-form, and best of all, it is free. When your battery goes dead, everything could come to a stop. Do not take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or your truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your car on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Or when you need auto parts quickly, O'ReillyAuto.com is only a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. So order online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to your curbside, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. And now for a limited time, save 15% when you buy a set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Get your auto parts quickly. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Jim Rohn Show.
Tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, CBS Sports Network serves you an ace. Steve Johnson and the Orange County Breakers battle the Bryan Brothers and the Las Vegas Rollers.
Brother.
World Team Tennis on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports Network. I'm efforting Tim Conley. I'm going to have him in just one moment. We'll talk some Arizona Cardinal football in hour number three. Kelvin Beachum, a tackle for the Cards, joins me then. And if you're on hold, you want to stay there because I will get some telephone calls in at some point. But as promised, we are joined right now by the president of basketball operations for the Denver Nuggets. He previously served as GM and executive VP of basketball operations. He joined that team back in 2013. He spent three seasons as the assistant GM in New Orleans. Denver is 43-22. They're in first in the Northwest Division before the season was suspended, and it's going to resume shortly. We are joined by Tim Connolly. Tim, it is great to have you on the show. Tim, before I talk to you about everything I want to get to, first let me ask you this. How are you and everybody around you doing during this really unusual time, Tim?
It's definitely weird, but the NBA has done a great job creating a pretty cool and safe environment. Our guys have quickly adapted, and it's fun to get back out there on the court. Miss the family, miss the kids, but all in all, hard to complain relative to what we're seeing day to day.
Tim Connolly is joining us. I mean, there's certainly no doubt about that. Like, what's it been like for you personally and the organization as a whole to make your way through and process this pandemic?
It's been challenging because there's been no answers and there's no experts. Certainly been a moving target. You hear different opinions day to day, and no one seems to really know what's the long-term effects. Certainly where our country is right now is not where we had hoped to be several months ago. What's been neat is, we have a really great group of guys. They've stayed connected. They've kind of challenged themselves to understand it. It's as weird as this is, it's still an opportunity to potentially win a championship, and I think they're pretty locked in right now.
Seems to me those who best understand that and approach it that way are going to have the best chance to be able to show up and then get it done. And then tomorrow's going to be your team's first action against a different NBA team for the first time in 4 months, which is amazing. What has it been like to go without basketball for that long, and how eager are you to get back to it?
It's crazy, man, because it's obviously I work in professional sports, but I'm a huge fan of sports, period. So I didn't realize how much I missed sports until they weren't available. Opening day, into the tournament, and now we're going to start the playoffs in mid-August. I think it's, we've challenged ourselves not to return to normal, but return better, and not just on the court. Obviously, there's a lot of issues right now that we're trying to have our guys not be scared to speak up and take substantive action. So collectively, it's been challenging, but it's been pretty neat to see a lot of these young guys, really smart guys and good people, find their voice away from the court. And now I think to your point is a good one. It's about your mental health down here. It's about focusing on what's in front of you. And hopefully, we have a puncher's chance. I think we have a really talented team. We've got a great coach. And I think our guys believe that we can win it all.
I actually love your coach, and I want to ask about Michael Malone in a minute, but I want to go back to a point you just made, Tim. Like, you've been very clear in the organization's support for your players who have spoken up for social justice and racial justice. Some organizations might have preferred to take a lower-profile approach. Why was it important for you to approach it the way that you have?
You're burying your head in the sand if you don't admit it's been an issue forever in our country. It's laughable that the greatest country in the world is where we are presently. And our players are our colleagues, and I think they have to feel empowered to speak up. You don't have to agree, and it's not party-driven or partisan-driven, but we're in a bad place right now, and our players have a big voice. It sounds cliche and corny, but they're role models. The more they speak up, the better, but now the challenge is not just speaking up, but what are we doing? How can we create sustainable change? So it's been inspiring and awesome learning from these guys. And again, we're pretty hopeful that this moment's not lost, because we've lost so many of these moments and we haven't made enough change.
Talking to Tim Connolly. And Tim, that other point about you're urging your players not to return to normal, but to return better. I mean, it's like one of those things that you hear or one of those things that you say, but in practicality, given all the challenges, how can you, practically, logistically, how can you go into something like this and then come out of it better? What's the process?
It's challenging because there's no roadmap. We're in uncharted water. So I think the key is admitting that. We're in professional sports, you tend to want to have all the answers. We're used to having defined schedules, and your day-to-day is very, very clear. So acknowledge that none of us know any better than the next. but also realize, you know, these opportunities to be a home court playoff team. I guess it really doesn't matter when there's no home court, but to be a top three team in the Western Conference, to be a team with the continuity we have, with the group of guys we have. And again, I think we have the best coaching staff in the NBA. So these moments are hard to replicate, and they don't come around too often. So I think our guys really enjoy each other. I think collectively they think we're going to come down here. We're going to make it worth our while. We're going to have as much fun as possible. But they're chomping at the bit to play a different team tomorrow.
Tim Connelly is my guest. Speaking of the coaching staff then, this is an enormous Michael Malone house. I really enjoy every single time he's on this program. How would you describe how he fits into the identity and the culture of this team?
Now, Mo's a great guy. I've known him forever. He used to recruit my brother's kids in Baltimore. We were lucky enough to work together in New Orleans. Basketball lifer. Loves the game. I think he's a low ego guy. Like what I need about our team, I think we have a bunch of self-motivated guys who don't take themselves too seriously. You know, Nikola Jokic finished third in MVP voting last year, and he doesn't enjoy the spotlight. He just wants to play ball and be around the teammates, be around his friends and family. But I think Mo's emblematic of kind of that approach, that hey, we're going to work really hard. We're not going to take ourselves too seriously. We're going to be a team that's always going to play hard and play smart. We're going to have fun doing it. I think all too often right now in sports, like the fun factor is lost. And he's never one of those guys where it's going to be drudgery.
Hey, Tim, why is that? Like, where did the fun go? How did the fun run out of sports?
Oh, man, I could talk about that for an hour. I think there's a kind of a too often sports are starting to be run like corporations. And I don't think any of us got into it. I'm sure you didn't. You got into doing this because you love sports.
You didn't get into it.
To make a job. You know, it's passion. So I think we all need to recalibrate a bit and understand that this is an outlet. It's entertainment. And it should be really, really fun. And it doesn't mean it's not the stakes are any less important. It's a pressure-driven job. But if you're not having fun in sports, do something else.
Preach. Tim Connelly joining us. Well said. All right, so you mentioned Jokic. He cleared quarantine and talked about the experience after testing positive for COVID. What was your reaction when you first heard that he had tested positive?
It was funny. I was back home in Baltimore, and I got a FaceTime call from him at 6 in the morning. So why is he FaceTiming me at 6 a.m.? And he was more apologetic. You know, he felt like he didn't know what was going on. He was apologetic. He wasn't going to be back in time for us to leave for Orlando. I said, don't apologize. It's all about your health, both mental and physical. But I kind of reflective of who he is as a guy. Thankfully he was asymptomatic the whole time. There were some challenges beyond the testing. You have to get someone from a different country. So it was challenging. Thankfully he's here. He's got great energy. He's smiling. He brings so much positive energy to the gym every day. So the minute he walked back to the gym, we felt whole again.
You know, to your point also that he's representative of this. To that point, earlier in the summer, you said that you had seen a photo of him and that he had abs, something you had not seen before. At that time, I'm not sure everybody believed it, but then the picture started to emerge. What's it say about him that he worked as hard as he did during that time to get into even better shape?
You know, he's so self-deprecating. He doesn't, you know, he kind of disarms you with his self-deprecation, but you don't become as great a player as he is without a work ethic and a healthy ego. So I think he's always been a worker. The last part of the game, most recently, he's had a real attention to detail with his body. You know, he wants to win. I think you see how he plays. His playoff debut last year was kind of his coming out, but the guy wants to win it all. He knows the level he's at right now. You're competing with the best of the best, you know, Hall of Famers. So how can he ensure that he can be that productive and stay on that level? And now he's, you know, Mr. Healthy. I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich the other day, and he said, "You can't eat that, man. It's terrible for you." Leave me alone. I like my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But he's just a good guy that kind of dumbs down how much he cares and how hard he works. But you don't get to where he is without both those things.
Let me tell you something. The time that people start ripping peanut butter and jelly sandwiches out of our hands is the time we all have a problem. Really quickly, Tim, you're a man of many interests, and it's not just basketball. You and Woj, for instance, talked about the fact that you were reading up on international financial markets early in the hiatus. You also mentioned that you're not just a basketball guy, but you're a huge sports fan. You were a huge wrestling fan going way back to the day. When did you first get into wrestling, and who were some of the guys that you liked the most?
You know, growing up in Baltimore, it's the Orioles, Maryland basketball, and wrestling, probably in that order. So those three things I loved. Some of my favorite wrestlers, the Big Coco Beware guy, like Georgie Animal Steel, like the British Bulldogs. And it's actually fascinating getting to know these guys more post-script, reading about them, watching documentaries. Those guys were complete rock stars. Their lifestyles are pretty epic. So it's a fun diversion to read about some of these guys you looked up to and watched when you were younger.
You know, also it goes without saying, but like the world was so different back then. The story goes that you didn't have cable TV growing up. Is that true? And if so, how did you get so into wrestling? How were you able to watch it?
True story. We didn't get cable. I think it was 14. Arrows was a precursor to Blockbuster. We used to rent the WrestleMania or watch the wrestling on Saturday morning. It's also funny slash, I don't know, kind of embarrassing how unpolitically correct those wrestlers were back in the day.
You know, so for sure.
Some of the, but it's fun. Like, I got a bunch of guys in the NBA who are big wrestling guys, and you know, every couple of times we connect, we have beers and talk about old wrestlers.
That's good stuff. He is the president of basketball operations for the Nuggets. In fact, one more thought about that before I let you go, Tim. The fact of the matter is, because you are who you are and you've been so effective at the gig, you've had other opportunities, probably other opportunities that would pay you even more money, yet here you are. What is it about the opportunity in Denver that means so much to you?
Well, I love the people I work with. Our ownership group. Josh Conkey's turned into a great friend. I mean, Josh played Division I basketball. He speaks the language. He gets it. Love our coaching staff. Love our training staff. Love our players. I like our stories. You know, starting 3 second-round draft picks and guys that have to make it the hard way. Guys that, you know, we're about as egoless a good sports team as you're ever going to find until we get between the lines. But I think when you find a good place and you're happy, it's hard to replicate that, and you can't always look elsewhere.
Got to remember that fact always. Denver, 43-22, first in the Northwest before the season was suspended, and they're gearing back up too. Tim, so good to have you on the show. Appreciate you. I appreciate your operation there, and it's always good to talk Nugget basketball on this program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, Tim. Thanks for doing it. Nuggets are a good jungle team, really good jungle team. And I want to echo what he just said. I like the way they built that thing. I like the culture of that thing. I like the identity of that thing. I like the way they carry themselves. It goes without saying, I love their head coach. They've got a really good thing going. And plenty of other good things I didn't even get to because we ran out of time. All right, so my thanks to the Nuggets for that. That's Tim Connolly, the president of Basketball Ops. We are open until 20 past hour number 3. Kelvin Beachum joins me then. Coming up also, my thoughts on the Bills Mafia versus the pandemic. Who you got? I'm not looking to make light of the pandemic. The pandemic is undefeated at this point, right? It's going to win. It is winning. Until there's a vaccination and until people really take this thing seriously and flatten out the curve, it's going to win. However, the one thing the pandemic has never seen nor taken on is the Bills Mafia. And generally, the Mafia wins. So again, I ask, Bills Mafia v. the pandemic, who you got? That's coming up. Time now for a sports update. Here is the very latest on this Tuesday. Here is Rich Ackerman.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Tim Connolly came off the interview and said to Adam Hawk, "Oh man, I meant to tell Jim something. I meant to tell him I'm all about the softball guy take back in the day." I hear you, Tim. I'd reset it, but I can't even do it justice. Go find it. It's good stuff. Again, how do you think I got in the Hall of Fame? Stuff like that. Softball guy. Gym guy. Pickup basketball guy. Likes to fight guy. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so I'm back from my vacation. I had 2 weeks off. I was in northern Wisconsin, Eagle River to be exact. I laid out yesterday what it was like for me to be there. I've instructed you today to go to my Instagram feed. I've got pictures. You can see what lake life looks like in Wisconsin and why I was so hyped and why I raved about that. So what was it like on the back end? What was it like back here when I was not here? Let's go to the phones. I've actually missed these phone calls. Normally, if I'm gone for a day or two, I don't say that. But if I'm gone for 2 weeks, I miss the phone calls. As an example, my man Jerome in Houston. Jerome, what's going on? How are you?
Thanks for the vine, Vance Mac. Good to have you back. Hope you enjoyed your vacation. Sorry you don't get to catch no fish, but hopefully y'all will keep after it, find someone that really knows what they're doing. Y'all can rack them and stack them as we stay down here in Texas in the fishing business. So, anyway, glad you're back. It's a rough 2 weeks, dude, when you're gone. I mean, it's like, 3 hours a day times 2 weeks. That's a bunch of hours where we have to find other things to do, but glad you're back. I have a little change of pace here. I got to get on J.R. Swish a little bit. J.R. Swish, I love your game. I love your swag. I love your contribution. But come on, man. Instead of spending 30 minutes on your Instagram telling us normal slappies about your blanket, lucky you, at least you got a blanket, although I can't imagine what anyone would need a blanket for in Florida in the middle of July. But anyway, you're going to whine about that? Why don't you bag that thing up and take it to your kid when you get back as a coming home present? It's got the logo on it. And one more thing, you're going to cry and whine about your snacks? Oh, JR, lucky you. At least you got snacks. Most of us out here, a lot of us have lost jobs, some of us working half pay, and you're going to whine about that stuff and your little stuff going on there in the bubble. You know what? You just lost my respect. I tell you what, think about the people. Think about the people that you're talking to before you come off with all this blanket sucks. That's about all I got in Rome. Love your show. I'm out.
Jerome, I love that call. Rack him. I'm not sure that I even agreed with any of that call, but I love that call.
Bruh.
The blanket, bro.
Bruh.
Look at it. Jerome's not having it.
Look at the blanket, bro.
See, that's kind of funny, right? We can see the exact same thing. We can listen to the exact same thing. We can both agree that we like this guy, J.R. Smith, and his game. Yet you hear that, and your response is, man, I got to say, Vance Mack, I just lost respect for him. When I've got to say, Jerome, I just gained even more respect for him. How can you and I see the same thing with the same guy and hear the same thing and have two totally different takes about it? Listen. I know what you're saying. I totally understand this notion of, you know, at least you have a blanket, although I don't know why you need a blanket in July in Florida. I made that point myself. But at least you have a blanket, and at least you have snacks, and there are people who have no jobs and have no snacks and are working for half pay. I understand all that. I agree with all that. Period. No but, just period. You're right. However, I won't give you a but, but I'll give you a however. However, these guys are accustomed to a little bit different of a lifestyle than the rest of us. And they're used to big-ass blankets. And to J.R. Smith's point, bro, I know LeBron was not given that blanket. I know AD was not given that blanket. How did I end up with that blanket? And his point about the snacks was this. He's like, you want us to be healthy, right? Well, you are what you eat. And we're elite professional athletes. We should not be fueling up on Ike Ritz diet. We should not be fueling up on Twizzlers and Rice Krispies and whatever else they had on that blanket. I get that point too, right? If you're really limited by what you can eat and where you can go, and a lot of it depends upon what they give you, you need better, cleaner burning fuel than chocolate. I stand by what he said. And I'm still pissed that the NBA shut him down and would not let him let us on the inside, because that's the way it really is.
You want a Ferrari to run like a Ferrari because you paid for it as a Ferrari, but you keep gassing it up with a Chrysler.
That's so true. Like, what are you going to put in a Ferrari? Like, if you throw down a couple of hundred bills or more for a Ferrari, what kind of gasoline are you going to put in that thing? 87? Hell no, you're not. You know, why don't you just dump a bunch of sugar in that tank? Top it off with that. It's a Ferrari, man. You don't put, quote, Chrysler bleep into a Ferrari.
A Chrysler.
Swish is a Ferrari. You are what you eat. And you run, depending on what you're putting into your body, what you're fueling up with. I mean, did anything that guy say, was any of it not true? I don't know, Jerome. Jerome also made the point that, I'm sorry that you caught no fish. Do you want to know why I caught no fish? Because I did no fish. You can't catch no fish if you don't actually fish. My kids did, though. Logan did. Janet did. Janet loves fishing. I'm like the only one in the family that wants nothing to do with it. So no, it's not that I didn't catch no fish. It's that I did no fish. And there are fish there now. Somebody made the argument to me. I hate to open up this can of worms, because I usually do not talk about things that I know nothing about. Somebody made the argument to me. Go ahead, Eric. Go ahead, Jerome. Tell me if this is true or not. Somebody made the argument that the fish were not biting because the water was too warm. And that is not the best time to try to fish. That the water was too warm. I don't know, man. I saw a lot of people out there. You know what? I don't even care. I don't fish. Water was warm, though, man. The water was really warm in Eagle River. Let's keep it in Wisconsin. Southeastern Wisconsin. I was in the northern part. He is in the southeastern part. He is Chris. What's going on, Chris? How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Good to be back.
Hey, say, listen, Jim, I'm going to go oppo of Jerome, if you don't mind. And I want to know what the hell is going on with the Lakers brass. You sign JR and immediately censor him and take him more out of his element? It's ridiculous, brother. Swish is a career 37% shooter from behind the arc. Although that doesn't even compare to Hawks 50% behind the glass when you're in Wisco, or as we learned while you were away, self-proclaimed tennis icon Bill Ryder and his current 34-7 tennis record. It still means every opposing team has the game plan for JR and his flamethrower. The dude is a straight-up assassin. You don't last 17 years in the league if you're not. And that is why the Lakers, signed him. He heats up faster than Caleb and Green Bay's overused rusty grilled cheese sandal skillet. So I say if JR wants an El Chapo-like tunnel built so he can eat at his favorite restaurants and relax alone in peace, start digging, Genie and Palinka. It's as if the Lakers brass have tried to paint the Russian hammer and sickle over the bubble. What a frickin' joke. War JR's bow and arrow. War Uncle Monty shredding blubber faster than a polar bear. Debones a seal. Deuces, Jimmy.
Wow. Rack him. All right, so you got two guys with two totally different takes on the same topic, and they both got racked. You see my point? You don't need to echo what I say. You don't need to agree with what I say. Just have a good take. And if you got some entertainment value, even better. Chris in southeastern Wisco. I don't think that it was the Lakers, per se, that censored JR. I think that the NBA has done a really good job. And that's why you see so many NFL players saying, why can't we? It might have been the Lakers. It might have been the league. Somebody got to JR and said, hey, can you stop doing that? Whoever it was, whether it was the team or the league, I wish they had not done so. Because, by the way, what did he say that was so bad? The blankets sucked. And he needed better fuel to run on than candy, because you don't put Chrysler bleep into a Ferrari.
A Chrysler.
Once again, is any of that untrue? Man, I'll tell you who's not. I'll tell you what Ferrari is not running on any Chrysler bleep. LeBron, man. LeBron looks incredible. LeBron gets it. You know, that's such a cliche thing to say. Yeah, well, that guy gets it. Well, the fact is, LeBron gets it. LeBron clearly went into that quarantine and didn't think to himself, man, this is going to be nice. I think I'm just going to shut it down for a number of weeks, maybe even a month. You know, because I'm not the youngest guy, and I put in a lot of time. He clearly went in there with the mindset of, I'm coming out. I'm not going to maintain. I'm coming out better than the way I went in because I know what's at stake. Remember when the thing was totally up in the air and nobody was clear on what was going to happen? LeBron was the one guy, and you might say selfishly, but LeBron was the one guy saying, we're not giving up on this season. Hell no, we're not giving up on this year. We will do what it takes and what's asked of us, and we will be ready. And he will be. I think LeBron, as much as anybody, is going to benefit from the shutdown. Because one, mileage. Two, he knows how to take care of his mind and his body. And three, he's going to come out of this with that time off so much better off. Whatever dings and nicks and cuts that he had, he's had time to heal up from. And if you look at the way he looks right now, clearly he's been putting in the time. He's been doing the work. I'm thinking this guy is going to hit the floor and be shot out of a cannon. The question for the Lakers is, what's going to happen in their backcourt? They're without Rondo. They're without Avery Bradley. And they do have J.R. Swish, which is a good thing. But I don't think there's any doubt that LeBron's going to hit the floor and he's going to play at a really high level. And just as I think there's no doubt that he and AD are going to play together at a very high level. AD, what's good? Everything right now. All right, okay. So anybody else? Is there anybody who wants to break that tie? J.R. Smith, do you have him or not? I'm all in with J.R. Swish.
Braised
Chris
beef
from
short
Southeastern ribs? Wisco. And Jerome. Hey, Jerome, man, take it easy on the guest host. This is not an easy show to do. How do I know I host it? And it's not easy to come in here when I'm not here. And especially not easy to come in here when I'm not here and Hawk is operating at 10% efficiency. He's not making it any easier for anybody. All right, when we come back, the top of hour number three, once again, let me pose the question as we go to break. Bills Mafia versus the pandemic. Who you got? The pandemic is undefeated. Unfortunately, man, it's scary stuff. People are dying, lots of people. But then nobody has ever come up against the Mafia and had it gone well for them, right?